All right, welcome back to another edition of Hey Fightin' Podcast, presented by Marathon Petroleum. Get the most out of your drive. Harrison Valentine, Jacob Hester, coming to you after LSU falls 42-28 to Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Really a thriller for three quarters up until Jaden. Let me turn my MacBook off. Up until Jaden threw that interception, the pass was tipped, but that was just one blemish in what was a tremendous outing for Jaden. Can't really say enough good things about LSU's quarterback, but in the end, Jalen Milroe and his four rushing touchdowns were too much to handle for this LSU defense.
Yeah, a couple things to get into. First off, Matt Flynn continues to be a front runner, doesn't show up after an LSU loss. No surprise there, but we are here and we're here to talk about that game and also look forward to what we have coming up this week, which is Florida, which is always a great week here in Baton Rouge. But look, a lot of opportunities in that game in Tuscaloosa. That game could have gone a couple of different ways. When LSU came out, Harrison, and you score right before halftime, and then you get the ball, and you go down there, and you score. You're like, okay, this is what this game is going to be. It's going to be which team has the ball last because of the LSU offense. But in a game like that, man, it's one play here, one play there. It's a penalty. It doesn't necessarily have to be a turnover. And obviously, we can get into some of the situations for this LSU defense. Jalen Milroe with his legs, that's the reason, really, you come up short in this contest. And so, man, one of those frustrating games where you feel like you had opportunities to take the game, stay in the game, maybe even win the game. And unfortunately for LSU, those things didn't happen for the Tigers.
Yeah, I was talking with Cody at halftime, and he pretty much called it. I think, are we going to blame Cody for the loss?
Yep. It's Cody Worsham.
Yeah, he was telling me.
Out there as well.
Yeah, Cody Worsham. He was telling me that it was going to be the team that comes up with a big play defensively, whether it's an interception, a forced fumble, whatever. That was going to be the team that was going to win the game. And ultimately, unfortunately, the Crimson Tide were the team to get it. You really kind of had that feeling after that interception that the game was over, just how the game was trending.
Well, I mean, Harrison's kind of call it like it is. Like, this is an offense right now that probably has a feeling of we need to be perfect. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure that we go out there and if possible get points on every single possession, right? And convert on all these and not, you know, have to punt. And that's why it's why you go for it on fourth down and fourth and one, right? Because one, well, you're confident in the best offense in the country. So that's part of it. But also, you know, right, when you're giving up points and LSU's giving up points, like as an offense, like you feel like, okay, man, we have to be perfect. And this is really the first game that I felt like I could kind of feel that in some points in the game. Because the offense, well, they had to be perfect in Mizzou and probably Ole Miss for LSU to try to go out there and be victorious. But, like, this is the first time I really felt it. Like, man, one play, and then you had that play, and it did kind of change kind of the flow of the game, and you felt like the narrative maybe changed in that game on that one singular play.
Yeah, let's talk about the offensive performance. We'll get to the defense in a little bit. But I think the offense showcased yet again why they're the top unit in the country. Started fast, like we talked about, with a 64-yard touchdown on the opening possession from Jaden Daniels to Malik Nabers, and then ended strong with a brilliant scoring drive before the half. Jaden really looked like a Heisman front runner out there, effective with his arm, effective with his legs, never really looked like the moment was too big for him. The crowd was wild.
Yeah.
15 of 24 for 219 yards and two touchdown passes, along with 116 yards rushing and a score on 11 carries before he was taken out of the game due to a head injury, which I'm sure we'll talk about that in a moment as well. But for me, the most frustrating thing about LSU struggles on defense is we are witnessing a championship offense.
Yeah.
And they looked every bit the part like a championship offense again on Saturday. It was really fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely they did. I mean, some of the plays that they had against that defense, that hasn't really happened against Alabama this year. Jaden Daniels continues to be a Heisman Trophy candidate, right? And I realize the losses, and that might hurt him, but I can't tell you who I'm voting for, but as a Heisman voter, he is still right there in my thought process of guys that need to be in New York City.
He hasn't moved a lot in the – I mean, On3 still has him as the front runner. 247 Sports still has a bunch of their analysts as Jaden as the front runner. You'd think that maybe after a loss, maybe ESPN not as much, but he's still up
ESPN's
there.
ESPN's the one service. Like, you can't deny what he is and who he is and what he's meant and what he's been to this team. And so he still went out there. And that 15 of 24 – I think there was four charted drops in that as well. So, like, that takes away from some of your numbers. But he put your team in position to try to go win the game with his arms, with his legs, with what he did. I mean, the throw we were talking about before we came on to Malik on the sideline, there's one place you can put that football. Now, also, Malik Nabers to get his foot back in bounds was incredible as well. But these are guys and performances that need to be highlighted. Yes, I realize 6-3 is not what you want to be right now. But even Malik, like we talk about Jaden, and we're trying to tell the rest of the country about Jaden Daniels, and it does seem like they have figured that out, and now he's a part of that conversation. Let's not forget Malik Nabers in this conversation. And I'm very fortunate to do a national show every single day, and people want to talk about A, B, and C. It needs to start with Malik Nabers. The conversation needs to start there. What he's doing, he's a leading receiver in the country right now. He just went out there and put up almost 200 in Tuscaloosa. He's averaging 128 yards per game. If we put that in NFL terms, he would be like at 2,100 plus for the season. Okay, he's doing special things. He is doing things that deserve to be talked about. And there's other receivers, and I don't want to name names in the country, that are getting talked about above him. He needs to not only be in that conversation, he needs to be the leading candidate, the starting position in that conversation.
Yeah, to piggyback off that, Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers are Pro Football Focus's highest graded quarterback and receiver so far this season. So paging the Heisman Trophy, paging the Biletnikoff. Another thing was in 2019, there were a lot of audible gasps in the press box when Joe Burrow was doing his thing. There was an audible gasp in the press box when Jaden Daniels found Malik Nabers on the side of the field, because that was just a tremendous connection.
I know you didn't hear the TV broadcast because you were at the game, but I mean, even the commentators, Danielson goes, well, that, but he's like, he didn't get the, oh my God, he got the foot in. I mean, they were shocked just because it was an incredible play.
On Monday, Coach Kelly's message was pretty consistent. It was in the post game as well. It was, in order to go on the road and beat a top 10 team like Alabama, you have to play elite. In order to beat elite competition, you have to play elite. And LSU played well. LSU played well on Saturday night, but you needed to play elite. And offensively, you were. Defensively, you were the opposite. Let's talk about as much as we can about the defense. Obviously, just two stops all game. Ironically, the first one of the game was one of their stops. I was like, all right, here we go. Here's the LSU defense. They're ready.
I thought they needed four.
Yeah, so
before the game, I thought they needed four stops to win the game.
And you got two in the first half.
Yeah.
You got none in the second. It felt, for me, sitting in the press box, it felt like it didn't matter if it was 3rd-and-1 or 3rd-and-20.
Yeah.
It just felt like Jalen Milroe was dissecting and running, and it didn't matter the yardage. They were going to find a way to move the chains. I know the conversation surrounding the spy has been a huge talking point. My biggest surprise was not that they struggled as much in the first half. It was that they didn't seem to make a ton of adjustments, even when it felt like Alabama was running the same play over and over and over again with Jalen Milroe. And honestly, the narrative coming into the game was about the DBs, the secondary. I thought the DBs held their own.
Alabama's two leading receivers combined for 89 yards in the game.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you would have said that before the game, I would have said LSU won.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the narrative. You had freshmen all over the place. I thought they played pretty well. I mean, was there a run fit here, a pass here? Yeah, that's freshman. That's going to happen no matter what. I thought they played well enough to win. So, like, that not being the reason why you lost was a little bit surprising.
Go see the guys at Subaru of Baton Rouge for your next new or pre-owned vehicle. They have a large selection of new, certified, and pre-owned vehicles to fit any budget. The Fabry Automotive family will treat you right and make your purchase experience an easy one. You can view their entire inventory online at SubaruBR.com. That's SubaruBR.com.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like I said, the DBs did their job. I thought Jordan Toviano held his own.
Toviano played well.
But what are some things that you looked at in terms of the defense? Was it the linebacker play? Was it the not being able to contain?
Yeah, look, let's don't bury the lead. And we know what this is, and it's already been talked about. Coach Kelly's talked about this. It was on third down, Jalen Milroe having the ability.
11 of 14, was it?
11 of 14. Yep. And when LSU's lost over the last 2 years, third down and fourth down, the money downs, those have been the issues, right? And we can go down the list of the games, but it's telling the same story. But in this game, because every game is different, it was Jalen Milroe with his legs. I mean, it was on third down. And Coach Kelly's already said it. Would have loved to have a spy in that situation. Going back to last year's game, that's what you had, Harold Perkins against Bryce Young, and it worked out well. They came in with a different game plan this year against Jalen Milroe and the Tide, and Jalen Milroe went through his progression. Nothing was there, tucked the ball, and he ran. And he's a very, very elusive runner. He is somebody that's built like a running back, and he was going to have success in that. And so that was one of the things in the game that I thought LSU would make that adjustment. Didn't see them make that adjustment. And Coach Kelly did mention, like, he's like, no, like, that's in. It's something that we would have had the ability to go to. And sometimes, and we talk about this all the time, like when you have a bye week, sometimes you chase ghosts a little bit. It happens every level of football. And they went into, you know, the bye week and then having a week of practicing, of coming up with a game plan to, you know, stop the Alabama receivers. And sometimes you chase those ghosts because of what you probably had available. You had freshmen. Yep. So you're thinking like, man, we can't get beat. We got to have extra guys in coverage. And so that was probably the thought process to the coaching staff. And so that was the story of the game. It was a difference in the game. It was Jalen Milroe's legs. And he was somebody that took advantage of what the defense gave him.
Yep. Jalen Milroe was definitely a threat with his legs and with his arm. He went 15 of 23 for 219 yards passing, also leading the Tide rushing attack with 115 yards and four touchdowns on 20 carries. Want to give a shout out to going back to Malik Nabers. He eclipsed 1,000 yards receiving for his LSU career after that.
First LSU receiver to go back-to-back 1,000 yards since.
And if you're Josh Reed. Oh, Josh Reed. I cheated. Josh Reed.
He was literally looking on the screen.
I wrote the story. So if it's my story, does it count?
Did you know it before you looked it up?
I stole it from Todd Politz. Thank
you,
Todd.
Well, Todd knew it. I mean, we all know that. But just think about that, okay? Think about I'm going to miss somebody, so I already apologize in advance. Since Josh Reed, Dwayne Bowe, first-round pick. Buster Davis, first-round pick. Early Doucette, hell of a football player, third-round pick. Skylar Green, Jets, Jamar, Terrace Marshall, Reuben Randall. I mean, I could name for Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr. Those guys pretty good, too. Yep. Think about that. They did not have back-to-back 1,000-yard years. We're talking about first-round talent. We're talking about NFL All-Pros. We're talking about some that might end their career with a gold jacket. They didn't do that. So for him to do that, first time since Josh Reed, he's going to get a big attaboy from me.
Before we move on to Florida, I wanted to talk about just the atmosphere on Saturday in Tuscaloosa. Were you there?
No. First one I missed since 2013.
Wow. This was my first time to T-Town. I thought the campus was beautiful. The light show was pretty cool. The in-game experience I thought was awesome as well. And it was my first Dixieland Delight. The Dixieland Delight was right when LSU pretty much, you kind of knew the game was over. So it was...
Cool.
Yeah, it was...
Yeah, that's
kind of hard, but
stop talking nice about Tuscaloosa.
Let's talk mean about Florida. How about that?
Let's talk about winning 10 out of the last 13, 8 out of the last 10, 5 of the last 6, and 4 in a row.
Yep.
Against the Florida Gators. Let's talk about that, Harrison.
It is Florida week, and no better guy to talk about the Gators than this guy, who we gave you some love on the official account yesterday. I saw that.
Yeah. Appreciate that. Didn't love how grainy it looked.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. Didn't love that. But you know what? It is what it is. I always, and I do mean always, enjoy beating the Florida Gators. In baseball, maybe in a college World Series, enjoy that. Certainly on the gridiron. Really any sport. And this is going to be the first time, if you get a victory on Saturday, that you would have beaten them 5 times in a row in football. And don't forget, this is a series. I apologize for hijacking this segment
here. You're good.
It is a series that you have played, I believe, since the early 70s, maybe late 60s. You've played this every year. This is a rivalry situation that just didn't start when Tim Tebow was a Florida quarterback. I mean, it goes a long way back as far as you played them every single year. Harrison, would you like to take a guess at the 69 games they've played, what the series breakdown is?
33-30-3.
33-33-3, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I looked it up yesterday, and that's what it was.
33-33-3.
Wikipedia must be wrong.
You go to Wintipedia. That's where you get your real information about football series. Yeah, for sure.
I thought I had that.
No.
It says Florida leads 33-30-3.
That's why you go to wins.
Wow, Wikipedia, you let me down. I thought I had that.
No, all threes.
Well,
and even if that was factual, what you just said, why would we say that here? We're not talking nice about that.
Yeah, that is true.
They wore black uniforms to their own funeral last week against Arkansas at home.
Yeah.
In a day game.
Well, it is a sold-out crowd on Saturday, 6:30, another Saturday night in Death Valley. Still something to play for, still hopes for a 10-win season like Brian Kelly talked about. A New Year's Six certainly at play. I think we'll know more about Jaden today. Hoping for the best, obviously, for LSU's quarterback. I know the Gators aren't exactly where they want to be, but this, like you know, this series always delivers no matter what. Always crazy, always weird, always gives you entertainment. Florida looking to stay bowl eligible, and if you look at Florida's schedule, they have LSU, Missouri, Florida State, I believe. So they are going to be playing desperate, playing with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, looking to stay bowl eligible, but certainly a good opportunity for both programs to pick up key wins on Saturday night.
Hope Jaden plays. Hope he plays because, man, I want him in New York City. He deserves to be in New York City for the Heisman Trophy ceremony, and I hope he's healthy, right? I mean, the head injuries are nothing to play with. Certainly I had those with the position I played and talked about those. Hopefully he's healthy, and if he can't play, would love to see him. And if he's not, like, you have to prepare for that. And that's why you felt good about your quarterback room heading into this year, because if something did happen to Jaden, you have one of those backup quarterbacks that every team in the country would want, Garrett Nussmeier. So we'll see how that plays out, but hopefully Jaden can get out there and continue the generational type season that he's having. And look, Harrison mentioned it. Go win 10 games, right? Now, you can't get to 10 games if you don't go out there and handle business in these next three before you get to a bowl game. Right. You like when you look at the history of LSU football, like it is championship filled, no doubt about it. But like 10 win seasons, like you had 18 and 19. Then you got to go back about 7 or 8 years before you find the next one. Then you got to kind of go back. Like you get 10 win seasons are hard. Yep. They're hard to do. Now, it's not the ultimate goal to LSU. The ultimate goal is to win championships, the SEC and the national championship. But if you build off last year's 10-win season, you stack another one, you're heading in the right direction to be the team and the program that you want to be. You don't want to be Florida? Come on. That's a team that people my age that went to LSU or played for LSU or cheered for LSU, it's the one they want the most. Mm-hmm. All right? Then you've got Texas A&M to end the season. Remember how last year felt? Remember how it felt when you lost a 7-overtime game? Right? That one means something. You got something to play for, right? I know some goals are already taken away, but you still got something to play for. Be loud. Come to the game. We're honoring the 2003 national championship team, right? That was the first national championship team for LSU since Moby Dick was a minnow. You had to go back 50 years. That team changed the culture of LSU football. You don't want to celebrate that team? I do. I'll be there. I'll be cheering like hell for Andrew Whitworth and Marcus Spears and all these guys, Matt Mock that played on, Justin Vincent that played on that team. You still have something to play for. You have Florida hate to get out of your heart. Do it on Saturday in Death Valley. Honor a team that set the standard for LSU football and what we are and what we're going to be in the future. Be loud. Show up. Gator hater. Let's do it Saturday.
I got to clip that. That pumped me up.
Yeah.
That pumped me up. I'll be there.
Yeah, yeah. Me too.
You gonna sit in the press box? Or you gonna be in the fans? The stands?
I don't know. I'll have myself, my wife, and my five children. So there'll be a lot of Hesters in the building.
All right, tough one against Alabama, but let's get right against Florida, and hopefully we'll have Matt Flynn back to break it all down.
If we win
next week,
we'll have Matt
the front runner Matt Flynn. Shout out to Marathon Petroleum for helping us get the most out of our drive, and thank
you. We'll keep the lights on for you.
Keep the lights on, and thank you for listening to the latest episode of Hey Fightin' Podcast.
Like nights of old, we fight to hold the glory of the purple and gold. Come on, you Tigers. I said fight, fight, fight. Victory for LSU. We are number one. Victory for